Many of us have felt a keen sense of loss at not being able to gather together at Holy Communion this past year. Christians have been doing it since the earliest days of the Church. Paul's description, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is our earliest record, earlier even than the written accounts in the Gospels. So let's revisit exactly what it is we do at a Holy Communion service. I suggest that when we concentrate just on receiving the bread and the wine and what they signify, that we can lose sight of two important elements. One of them is that we're gathering together at the Holy Communion table. This originates in the supper that Jesus had with his disciples before he was taken from them. And we do it because he told us to. Do this in remembrance of me. It's a family meal rather than a private encounter between you and your Lord. That's why Paul gave the Christians in Corinth a telling off in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Everyone was doing their own thing. So when we gather at Holy Communion together, we receive the bread and the wine together because we are all in need of the salvation that Jesus offers us through his death on the cross. All the distinctions we think are important vanish at the Lord's table. Unionist and nationalist, male and female, young and old, rich and poor, academic high flyer and bottom half of the class at school, one whose relationship with the Lord brings constant joy and the one who struggles with faith. We are in equal need of the grace of God, and we express this when we gather together at the Holy Communion table. But listen also to what Paul tells the Corinthians about the Lord's Supper. It's all about the theme of this group of reflections, hope. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Or remember the words we say together during the prayer of consecration. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Easy to overlook this dimension of Christian hope, even if we believe that death is not the end, but the gateway to what we call heaven, where in the Father's house are many mansions, which Christ has gone before to prepare for us. Tomorrow, I shall suggest that our vision of what Christ is still doing and will one day bring to glorious completion is limited. What we call heaven is far bigger than our imaginations can cope with. But it's still something we ought not to forget, especially at a time when the pandemic has taken so many and so much from us, perhaps even hope itself.